Broadcasting from high atop Rocky Road in Moab, Utah, this is KZMU News. I'm Emily Arnson. Today on the show, we'll hear part three of a series about the unsolved murder of a local woman, Anne Woodward. The 1973 cold case was recently reopened by the Moab police after a missing box of evidence was found earlier this fall. That evidence is now being processed by the state's forensics lab. And thanks to DNA testing, the investigator who reopened the case is pretty certain he'll be able to name a culprit once he gets the results back. In case you missed earlier episodes, here's the backstory. In 1973, Anne Woodward was raped and murdered at Woody's Tavern, strangled to death with her own trousers. She was 46 years old, had four kids, and she owned and ran the bar with her husband, Leslie Woodward, who went by Woody. One night after closing up, she didn't come home. The police and the sheriff got involved, but there was some bad blood between the departments at the time, and for whatever reason, a box of crucial evidence got lost, and the case went unsolved. Today, we're talking to someone who was best friends with one of Anne's sons. He saw firsthand how the murder shook the family and the community. Plus, we talk about recent murders that have happened in Moab and the shocking parallels between then and now.
I was very close to the Woodward family. She was like my second mom because I had spent a lot of nights over there. My best friend was Guy Woodward.
This is Tim Buckingham. In this story, you'll also hear Buckingham call his friend, Guy Woodward, by his nickname, Bugsy. Bugsy was the youngest of Anne's four kids. He and Buckingham were 15 when Anne was killed.
Can you tell us what you remember from that day?
I can. Bugsy and I had first hour class together. And then the sheriff came into class and pulled Bugsy out of class. And I thought, wow, what's going on? Is he in trouble? What's going on? And then, it was just a few minutes later, my mother came and pulled me out of class. And she's the one that informed me Annie was murdered. So it was pretty devastating to me. That was the first real tragic loss in my life I experienced. And I took it pretty hard, and it was hard for me to go back in the Woodward house after that. I just kind of checked out. I didn't know how to deal with it.
How did this incident affect your relationship with Bugsy?
It strained it for sure. I didn't even go to the funeral years later. I realized that I should have been there supporting Bugsy rather than just withdrawing. I felt ashamed and guilty of that. The Woodward house, of course, household changed after that without Annie there. It affected everyone, especially Bugsy. He became very moody. He was a outgoing, friendly guy, and then suddenly he wouldn't be. And Bugsy, he pretty much turned to drugs. He actually cleaned up and was doing really well last couple of years, and then he died of a heart attack because it took its toll on his heart.
Of the four siblings, Leslie is the only one still alive. The oldest brother, Max, committed suicide, and Susan has also since passed away.
There's no counseling or any of that back then. And
and for such a small community, I mean, I imagine this was really unexpected and something that had, never happened before and really scary. What was the effect on the community?
People were upset from the get-go, like, why can't you solve this case? They were saying, like, there's this animosity between the sheriff's department and the police department, and they blamed each other, and so nothing got done, and it was just totally swept under the carpet, I think. The sheriff's department and the police department went in to investigate, and seemed that no one knew what to do or anything. They botched the crime scene and didn't flag it off, and everyone was going through it and stuff. And
yeah. So what was the police department's excuse?
I don't know what it was. Lack of evidence? It was publicized, the whole murder and everything, but then it wasn't, like, it was kind of dissolved.
What kind of effect did this have?
Well, it had a antitrust to the police. I would say it was the biggest effect. This tragic incident happened, and who knows who did it? Are they still around or what? Did you not care because it was the Woodward, because it was Annie?
Was Anne a controversial character for any reason?
No, maybe for some people, they shunned upon her for running a bar and that. And, you know, she did like to play cards and let her hair down. And she's not a stay-at-home mother, and of course, and she was involved in the business, so.
Yeah. But were there any rumors that the police or the sheriff department were, like, in cahoots with whoever did this?
Well, everyone was thinking, like, well, it's just them trying to get Woody, you know.
They didn't like Woody because he's running the bar.
They didn't like the riffraff or whatever.
What kind of character did Woody have? Like, why would someone suspect him of doing that?
You know, him being in Utah and the owner running a bar, you know, of course, Moab has the Mormon community. People probably just pass judgment because of being in the business, or the rumors of Woody being the suspect. That was the only thing that people heard. And they just, like, slowly just trickled away.
Today, Woody is not one of the main suspects. He apparently passed a polygraph test, so the police wrote him off. But you can hear more about who those top suspects are in the first episode of this series.
Do you ever go to the bar now?
I avoided it for quite a long time.
Then, in the 80s, Buckingham moved to California, and things changed in Moab after he left.
When I came back in 91, I couldn't go because I didn't know anyone hardly in there. Woody sold it. It changed hands and stuff, and just wasn't the same. And
yeah, did it just not feel right to go in there when no one knows the story? Or
right, right. And there's that too. You know, it was a shared event. I mean, it affected all of us. And so we all, we shared the good times and bad times of Woody's, and that was a lot of it. Now I go in there, I know that no one in there knows the story, or but that's fine. It's just a different experience for me now.
Yeah. You know, 50 years after the fact, what is a verdict going to feel like? And are any of the people that were seriously affected by this case even going to, like, have any kind of justice?
It's great. If they do solve this, I mean, there can't be any justice now. It's past that. But it would be nice to know.
Yeah. Does it feel like something that you haven't been able to kind of tuck away because right, it's unsolved? Yeah. Is that how it feels for you?
It does. After all those years, it's like it never goes away.
Yeah. When I learned that they were reopening this case, it also reminded me of the double homicide that happened a couple of years ago up in the mountains. And that case was so unsettling to me because it just seemed like the police didn't care. You know, days that they had been missing, and it wasn't even the police who ended up finding them. It was just their friend. And their murder went unsolved for so long.
It did remind me very much of the similarity of that, you know, did remind me of that because it was, you know, it's like, did they just not care about these people?
We're talking about Kylan Schulte and Crystal Turner, a young couple from Moab who were murdered while camping in the La Salle Mountains. The women were last seen on August 13th, 2021. It was a Friday. They were at Woody's Tavern, and while they were at the bar, Schulte apparently told a friend that they'd moved their campsite because of a creepy man camped near them. She also told her friend, quote, "If something happens to us, we were murdered." By Monday, the couple was reported missing. They were found 2 days later, not by the police, but by a friend who'd gone looking for them. The case dragged on for over a year. Frustrated with the police, Schulte's father started his own investigation. He sat in Moab's Suwannee Park every day for 5 weeks with a clue box, collecting anonymous tips. To no success. The sheriff's office finally closed the case 14 months later in December of 2022. They named Adam Pinkushevich as the culprit. He'd been one of Turner's co-workers at McDonald's, and he'd confessed to the murder to his partner before committing suicide.
It's hard not to see the correlation between the double homicide and my grandma. For the people that have been here since then or that know about that, it's like this isn't a new story with what happened with them.
This is Annie Dalton, Anne's granddaughter. We heard from her in the previous episode, but I'm going back to this interview because she also brought up the similarities between these cases.
My grandma had a sense that something was off. She asked a friend to stay with her while she was closing. And this is why the Kylan and Crystal were that, like, they told their friends, like, they knew something was off.
Just one day prior to Schulte and Turner's disappearance, there was another incident in town that foreshadowed a third murder. And once again, this murder would involve a botched investigation by local law enforcement.
the other girl that got killed, even though they had a chance to stop it, you know? Textbook abusive relationship. These cases where things get violent and, you know, end up in murder. Like, what's the protocol?
Dalton is talking about Gabby Petito. She was murdered by her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, about a month after Moab police had stopped the couple because of a domestic violence report. When police pulled them over on August 12, 2021, Petito was crying, and she allegedly showed police a photo of a previous injury, when Laundrie had bruised and cut her face. But the police made no arrests, and a month later, Petito's body was found near Grand Teton National Park. She'd been strangled to death by Laundrie, who confessed to the murder in a notebook before committing suicide. Petito's family is now suing the Moab Police Department for mishandling the case. They say that police could have prevented the murder if they'd arrested Laundrie for domestic violence when they pulled him over. The $50 million lawsuit is still ongoing.
I don't know. There's correlations. It seems like a pattern.
Yeah. It's women getting murdered and the police botching the investigation or not caring is what it is.
That's the pattern.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You've been listening to part 3 of a series on the unsolved murder of Anne Woodward. You can find the previous episodes on our website, kzmu.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. This story was reported and produced by me, Emily Ernson. Thanks for listening.